God has an encouraging word for you and me today through the Bible-based preaching of Dr. Don Wilton and a message on purpose. The Encouraging God's Purpose for You. That's the title of today's message as we dive into the Word of God, understanding the unique purposes we have, the general purposes we have, and how we can gain insight to that every single day. Before we begin, Dr. Don wants me to remind you that we are here to encourage you 24 hours a day. We do that keyboard to keyboard on our website at theencouragingword.org. That's theencouragingword.org, or on this phone number, 866-899-WORD. That's 866-899-9673. We'd love to speak with you, pray with you, and connect with great resources that'll help you grow in your faith. Now, today's message, God's Purpose for You with Dr. Don Wilton.
God's Purpose for You. Here in Luke chapter 8, the Lord Jesus Christ shares with us a parable. We know what a parable is. It's an earthly story that has a heavenly meaning. But this incredible parable of the sower, as we learnt in Sunday school and as we were growing up, strikes a chord in our hearts. It runs deep. I think when the Lord Jesus shared this with His disciples, He was uncovering the reality of our hearts and our souls. He was taking us off our public platforms. He was removing us from the public bleachers of our football insanity. And He was getting to grips with what it is that God has to say to our own individual hearts. And today I'm going to be asking this question time and time again. What is it that God has purposed for you to do? Well, let's read together to help us to be able to understand where we are in the scheme of things. Verse 4 of Luke's Gospel in chapter 8. While a large crowd was gathering and the people were coming to Jesus from town after town, Jesus told this parable. A farmer went out to sow his seed. As he was scattering the seed, some fell along the path. It was trampled on, and the birds of the air ate it up. Some fell on rock, and when it came up, the plants withered because they had no moisture. Other seed fell among thorns, which grew up with it and choked the plants. Still other seed fell on good soil. It came up and yielded a crop 100 times more than that which was sown. When Jesus said this, He called out, "He who has ears to hear, let him hear." His disciples asked Him what the parable meant, and so Jesus said, "The knowledge of the secrets of the kingdom of God has been given to you, but to others I speak in parables, so that though seeing, they may not see, and though hearing, they may not understand." This is the meaning of the parable. The seed is the Word of God. Those along the path are the ones who hear. And then the devil comes and takes away the Word from their hearts so they may not believe and be saved. Those on the rock are the ones who receive the Word with joy when they hear it, but they have no root. They believe it for a while, but in time of testing, they fall away. By the way, did you know that even the devil believes in God? Bible says, yeah, they believed for a while. I don't think they had any difficulty in understanding, but in the time of testing, they fall away. Verse 14, the seed that fell among the thorns stands for those who hear, but as they go on their way, they are choked by life's worries, riches, and pleasures, and do not mature. But the seed on good soil stands for those with a noble and good heart who hear the word, retain it, and by persevering produce a crop. For no one lights a lamp and hides it in a jar or puts it under a bed. Instead, he puts it on a stand so that those who come in can see that light. Is that not a most marvelous word from our Lord Jesus Christ? My dear friends, I want to submit to you today that we are a blessed people, are we not? I love this church. I love Spartanburg. I love being alive. I love being able to laugh together and have fun together. We certainly do. We are a blessed people. We're a blessed church. God has blessed us as a community. During these 40 days, During this time, as we examine our hearts together, God is blessing us. God's blessings are all over. But I'm going to ask a very deep soul-searching question. Here it is. Is it possible to be blessed and yet to miss the blessing? I'm going to ask that again because it's a very deep soul-searching question. Take marriage, for example. Is it possible to have a beautiful wife, a wonderful husband, if God has blessed you with children, or if He hasn't, you've got a wonderful family, you have a home, and you look at someone, you say, you know, look at them, look at their home, look at those children, whatever, and yet to have all those things and yet not to be happy, not to be content. Is it conceivable, my friends, that God, in His infinite wisdom and by His grace, could be pouring out His blessings upon you individually, upon all of us corporately as a church, and yet for some of us to miss the blessing? That's what this parable is all about. And it brings us to bear on this ultimate question, if I might add to you this morning. It perplexes the deepest inner recesses of my heart and soul. It causes me to pause in the madness of my own busyness and ask some of the most soul-searching questions that I could ever ask. What is it that God wants of me? You know, as I reflect on First Baptist Church, I wish I'd been here for over 160 years, but I haven't. I'm just the recipient of over 160 years of faithfulness. I began to ask myself, I wonder what it is that God purposed for this church when He allowed First Baptist Church to be established all those generations ago. Well, I wrote down 10 purposes. I believe each one of these to be highly relevant. But I'm going to ask you something today. Listen, there could be many more. I'm going to give you 10 purposes that I believe God gave to this church. Now, this is just by the way of introduction, so I'm not going to pitch my camp on any of them. Number one, God purposed for this church and for our people to accept Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. I make no apology that I believe that is the centerpiece on the mantelpiece. I think that's the reason God allowed this church to be established, so that others would come to know the Lord Jesus Christ, don't you think? Number two, so that God's people would grow in Christ. That's a second purpose. It's called discipleship. I think what Jesus intended for us as a group of people, that once having come to know Jesus, that we would grow in Him. Number three, to fellowship together. I love to fellowship. Boy, fellowship is so filled with fun, and laughter and games and happiness and joy. Everywhere I go, I find people fellowshipping together. That's a wonderful, lofty, but very serious biblical purpose. Number four, to worship the Lord Jesus Christ. I love worshiping with Steve Skinner and this incredible company of committed people, this orchestra, Jim. Thank you for your ministry to us. Jim Hembry, boy, what a choice servant of the Lord Jesus Christ. The choir, the praise team, and the impact service. I love to come and just to sing. Thank you, Steve, for leading us as we worship. That's part of God's purpose, is that we should worship Him. Number five, to study His Word together. We've said a lot about that during these days. We are a people of the book. In fact, that's what this parable is all about. Did you note what the centerpiece of this parable was? It was the seed, which is the Word of God. That's what it's all about, God's Word, this complete revelation that we have of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. I believe that God purposed for us to come together to study His Word. Number six, to give of our resources. I spoke about it. You know, I just use one little thing like a rice bowl just to illustrate. I really believe that over 160 years ago, God brought a group of people together because He purposed that those of us who love the Lord Jesus Christ would pool our resources, we'd give of our money, we would be held responsible and accountable for feeding the starving millions, for helping boys and girls, our helping ministry center. Boy, those people who work down there so faithfully, building churches in Brazil and Moldova and South Africa and all over the place. I look at something like this, folks, and I say, Lord, you mean you want me to give of my resources? Can I be quite honest with you, folks? I shouldn't take one rice bowl. I hope you don't think I'm being unreasonable here or that I'm trying to be too arrogant. Folks, filling one rice bowl with change, that's not going to challenge me. I'll guarantee you there's hardly a person within the sound of my voice spent more than that on one meal yesterday. That's not going to change. This is not about equal giving. It's about equal sacrifice. God, what is it that God is purposing for us as a church to give of our resources? He intends for us to tithe our income to the storehouse, to the ongoing ministries. His work doesn't operate without it. He intends for us to build together in faith. He purposed that. We know God's faith. He intends for us to go into all the world, to give and to be involved. Well, here's another one. Number 7, to encourage one another. Boy, everywhere I go, people are encouraging one another. I tell you, it doesn't matter if I'm sitting in a football stadium or if I'm in a hospital like I was last night with friends praying for them, if I'm at a wedding or if Steve Skinner and I are trying to put a refrigerator together, and I'd never been able to do it if he hadn't helped me. I'd still be putting that thing together, by the way. Folks, let me tell you, we are there to encourage one. Do you know, so you know what I did yesterday, folks? I had to put a refrigerator together because my wife wanted to move it. I don't know why she wanted to move it, but we got it. When wife says move it, you move it. And so we had to move it. We had to take the doors off the thing, folks. My refrigerator. I mean, I had to expose my lunch right there. Problem is, I took the doors off. You think I can put the door back on? All I had to do was call Steve Skinner. Now, he can sing like I don't know what, folks, but he can also manhandle a screwdriver, let me tell you. Steve, I love you for doing that. Messed up your Saturday morning. Take you away from Gay and the kids and come and help me to put a silly old refrigerator. Folks, we're here just to encourage one another. Number 8, to serve Him. We had our ministry fair and people were serving each other. Listen, folks, we had people sign up left and right, ad infinitum, but we're not done yet. Man, we are desperately in need of people to sing in the choir, desperately in need of people to work in our preschool ministries alone, folks. We got little children falling out of our ears. Wake up, church! Where are you? These are our children! Wake up! God is speaking to us. We've got work to do. Shame on us that we need to stand up in front of the group and say, won't somebody please help our children? I wonder what God's purpose is for you and for me. Another purpose, number 9, is to witness. Another is to go out on mission. Where? Our purpose statement says that we are committed to reach Spartanburg and beyond with the message of Jesus Christ. Would you buy someone else something to drink? Bible is clear that God considers 40 days to be a spiritually significant period of time. Did you know that? Go back and do your homework. Noah's life was transformed by 40 days of rain. Moses, his life was transformed by 40 days on Mount Sinai. The people were transformed by Goliath's 40 days of challenging Israel. Elijah was transformed when his strength lasted 40 days on a supernatural meal that God had provided for him. One meal. The entire city of Nineveh. I love the book of Jonah, don't you? The entire city of Nineveh was transformed when God gave them 40 days to change. Jesus Christ himself, he was transformed and empowered for his public ministry of miracles, of healing, through a 40-day wilderness experience. Just think of how Jesus Christ was empowered. You see, something like this, my beloved friend, will both ignite and empower you in your own sense of purpose for God. I'm going to ask this question today as I pour my heart out to you. Is it possible to be so blessed that we miss the blessing? You might say to me, Pastor, what have you been praying about? Well, I trust a number of things, but I have 5 major prayers that I've prayed in my heart for you. Number 1, that during these times that we would come together as God's people, and I believe that we have. Number 2, that we would all study together, be on the same page, all our Sunday school departments, and I believe that we have. that we would be blessed together. Number three, folks, I just believe that we have. Everywhere I go, people come up to me and say, Pastor, you wouldn't imagine what God said to me. What's next? Let's not stop. The river is flowing. I've prayed, number four, that we would be deeply challenged, ignited, and empowered in our spiritual walk with God. And I believe we have. I've also prayed that we would be prepared for all God has in store for us in the future. And I believe that we have. Friend, let me tell you something today with all the love in my heart. God's not through with us. Are we ready as a church, as a congregation, for the next 10 years, the next 20 years, the next 30 years? Do you ever get to the point in your spiritual life? I know that I do, and I ask God to forgive me. I turn to the Lord. I say, Lord, wait a minute now. You know, we've just done this and I've done that, and Lord, I've been out three times this week, and you know, I went to see that person, and I filled that rice bowl, and Lord, and God says, we'll get out another one. Well, Lord, I went to the hospital, you know, to go and visit that sick person. He said, well, go and get in your car and go and visit another one. Well, Lord, I've already prayed for those people. Well, here's somebody else I'd like you to pray for. But Lord, have you ever got to that point? You see, what God does for us, folks, He reaches right deep down in our hearts. This is what this parable is all about. It's the sower and the seed. The sower being God, our Heavenly Father, through Jesus Christ, His Spirit. The seed being the Word. And there is a sense in which God is saying, not I'm going to think about sowing my seed. He says, I am sowing my seed. But there are four different categories of receivers. Hey, right here, I'm not going to try and do an exegesis of this passage. That's not my intention today. He said some of the seed fell along the pathway. I love to go to golf tournaments. I've even been to the Masters one time, loved it very much. You see those beautiful manicured lawns and everything, but every now and again, even a good player like Greg Norman or whoever hits an errant golf shot and the crowd scatters and the ball lands where? On the trodden pathway. Where people like you and me have sat, we've had our cushions and our chairs, where we're drinking our Cokes and holding conversations. And instead of landing where the ball is highly playable, it lands on the trodden pathway. Jesus was simply saying here, he said, my word is not thinking about going out, it is going out. Because my word always goes out. It's not dependent upon you. The going out of my word is not conditioned by man. It goes because I am the Word. But when my Word goes out, sometimes it falls on a heart like yours that all your heart has done has been taking a seat. It's trampled down.
You're listening to Dr. Don Wilton, our teacher here on The Encouraging Word. We'll be right back in just a moment. Dr. Don will pick up after number 8 and continue on. But we want you to know that we're connecting already on our website at theencouragingword.org and the phone number 866-899-WORD. That's 866-899-9673. We'd love to connect you with great resources like Going After Jesus, a remarkable DVD CD series that Dr. Don has prepared about the sense of pursuing God as today we discover God's purpose for us. How are we pursuing God in our day-to-day life? Again, there are more details to come on that at the end of the broadcast today, but now back to today's message with Dr. Don Wilton called God's Purpose for You.
He says His Word goes out to other areas. It lands on a rock, for example. And when it begins to come up, guess what happens? It's on such hard ground it cannot take root. It just gets destroyed. He said in the third place, there is seed, His Word, which goes out into the hearts of people like you and me. And there's a moment in which we say, no, I think that I could understand that and I'm willing to believe that. Just evidently, Nicodemus was one of those people. Nicodemus believed in God. God's Word says he was a believing God. He believed in God. That was no question whatsoever, but he wasn't a Christian. It's not a matter of just believing in God. Most people believe in God. Even the devil believes in God. These people were willing to believe in God. But before that seed could take root in their heart, it got choked up. Bothers me about you and me because we have so much to choke us up. Do you know that? We've got pleasures and we've got blessings and we've got opportunities. We live in the land that flows with milk and honey. We've got everything that opens and shuts. And sometimes we come to church or we go to Sunday school or And we hear, Jesus said, let those who hear, hear. Why did he say, if you got ears, listen to me? Why did Jesus say that? Because, folks, it's one thing to hear it and to believe it, but it's another thing to trust that and receive it. And evidently, he said, there are those who get caught up in life's worries and pleasures and literally get choked out. But then he said, there are those, and I'm so grateful for the thousands that I know in this place whose hearts are receptive. And guess what God says? Here's a blessing. Here's a promise. He said, when the word takes root in a receptive heart, that the crop which it yields will boggle the mind. That's the blessings. Folk, let me tell you, death is inevitable. But Jesus Christ gives me hope beyond the grave. Steve and I were privileged beyond anything we could ever imagine, because we were privileged to participate in a funeral service in our church. Precious lady, Miss Dot Maxwell. I loved her so much. In fact, her husband and family are right here in the service with us today. And we love them as we do all of our people in the midst of their grief. But I tell you, you're going to say to me, now wait a minute, Pastor, how can you and Steve talk about joy like that? How can you possibly do that? How could a funeral service be joyful? Well, can I tell you why? Because together with Dr. Rick Mathis, a long time ago, we had the privilege of going to Dot and Frank's home. And folks, let me tell you, I'm here to witness. I'm here as a witness today. I was there. I was there, Mr. Frank. I was there with Dot. I was there the day Dot Maxwell gave her heart to Jesus Christ. Yes, I was there. We buried her on Friday. I was there when Frank, her husband, gave his heart to Jesus Christ. And I want to tell you, I was able to stand there at a funeral service. Beautiful cemetery out at Sharon United Methodist Church, way off Reedville Road out in Duncan. Magnificent little church there. And there we were at the graveside. And I was able to turn to her grandson, Michael, whom I love, and say to him, Michael, I want you to know that your grandmother is not in this box. She's with the Lord Jesus Christ. What is God's purpose for me and for you? That we should know Him personally. But there's a second purpose, that we should grow in Him measurably. Not only that we should know Him personally, but that I would grow in Him measurably. You see, my beloved friends, as a believer, now listen carefully this morning. This is what discipleship is all about. When God asks us to join Him, it always will result in a crisis of belief. It will demand action. Faith without works is dead. When God asks us to join Him in His purpose, it will always result in a crisis of belief. The demand of God is that we move into action. That is Christian discipleship. Some of you might say, Pastor, what does it mean? I'm going to give you the four golden candlesticks of New Testament discipleship. You might need to write these down. Did you know that over 300 of our teenagers every Sunday night are engaged in discipleship? Our parents are committed to it. We believe in our young people. They gather together with discipleship leaders. You talk about faithful people in our church. Friend, it is the clarion trumpet call of God. It is not good enough just to be in church on Sunday morning. That's just the tip of the iceberg. That's just the starting point for God's people. It is that I know the Lord Jesus personally and that I grow in Him measurably. Now, what does it mean? You have the four golden candlesticks of Christian disciples. Number one, it means that I must be foundational. This is going to be the tough part. It means that I've got to be willing to be faithful. That's the third golden candlestick of discipleship. Now, friends, listen. It's one thing to be foundational in order to grow in Him measurably. It's another thing to be functional, to go to work for Him. But it's an entirely another matter to be found faithful. Many, many, many times, we Christian people, we say, Lord, look, I know You're speaking to me. I'm willing to put my roots down. Yes, I'll study the Word of God. I'll get into that group. I'll come and I'll learn. I'll hear you speaking. I'll let my ears be opened unto you. In fact, I'm not only going to be foundational, but I'm going to be functional. I know that I love to sing. I'll go and work for you. Lord, I know that I want to teach. I'll teach a Sunday school class. Lord, I'll volunteer for RAs. I'll just be there. There's another pair of hands. There's 100 little boys having a good time. And I'll just be there to just kind of be around so they got somebody to run into. I'll be a barrier, whatever it is. I'll do it. Lord, I'll do it. But folks, there are many people who say, I'll do it, Lord. I'll do it, Lord. And they do it for 1 week and 2 weeks. And then God doesn't smell them for dust. That may challenge you today. God's purpose is not that you just be foundational and functional. God's purpose for you is that you be found faithful. It is required of the steward of God. And one day the Lord Jesus is going to say, well done, good and faithful servant. Not good and successful servant. Good and faithful servant. And when the Lord says, look, I'm looking for somebody. He says, would you raise your hand to me? Would you say, yes, I'll do it? He wants you to go to work. But I'm going to tell you, it's going to take jolly time effort on your part. It's going to take commitment. Sometimes it hurts. Sometimes it means you've got to deny yourself. Sometimes it means you'll be so tired. It's kind of like our moms, you know. I love our moms, don't you? Our moms, boy, I'm telling you, they get up, get everything ready, send the kids off to school, run the taxi cab service. I tell you, there's been a many, many mama. She gets home, she says, oh boy, I am telling you. The house finally got a little quiet. You're about to start a wonderful conversation with the washing machine. You deserve it. You owe it to yourself. You've earned the right. And then the phone rings. And your son or daughter's on the other side and says, mama, I forgot my lunch. Or I didn't bring my shoes for PE. And you know, you can just hear all the mothers saying, you know, isn't that strange? I was just sitting here saying, you know what would be wonderful right now? I would just love to get in my motor car and just drive across this town again, just to go to the school. And I just love this. This is one of the things that I love to do, is to drive backward and forward to the school. And there's not a single mother who says, you know something? You left your lunch behind. That's tough on you, little girl. You just starved to death. You understand me? In fact, I tell you better, just go and steal somebody else's lunch. Well, I love our mothers so much. You know, folks, let me tell you, God's work is busy, it's hard, it's relentless. But I tell you, there's no greater joy. We must be foundational, functional, faithful. And listen to this, folks. This is what the Bible says. We're getting all the way to this. I must be fruitful. Fruitful.
Thanks for joining us on the radio today. Remember, tonight, TBN, the Trinity Broadcast Network, carries our broadcast at 6:30 Eastern. I hope you'll join us then.